Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The James Webb Space Telescope lets us see further and deeper into the expanse of space. Here's everything you need to know about the $10 billion telescope that's a million miles from Earth. I'm Roger Chang, and this is your Daily Charge. Joining me to break down the ins and outs of the James Webb Telescope is our resident science expert, Monisha Ravisetti. Welcome, Monisha.
Thank you for having me, Roger.
So James Webb has made headlines over the last month for some stunning imagery it sent back. Can you just give us a breakdown, though? If you're not an astronomy fanatic or if you're not into this area, just what exactly is the James Webb Space Telescope and its primary mission?
Sure. So I think that normally when you think of NASA's big telescope, you probably think of the Hubble Space Telescope, which is currently in low Earth orbit right now, and it's still working, it's still taking pictures. And that is really comparable to like a super powerful off-the-shelf telescope. You can really think of it as like what we use on Earth, except it's up in space. The James Webb Space Telescope, however, is quite different from that. It doesn't take pictures of, you know, deep space, and it doesn't actually even work with visible light wavelengths that we're used to. Instead, what it does is it captures infrared light from the deep universe. And what that basically means is, so in science, there's a thing called the electromagnetic spectrum, and it sort of organizes all of the different wavelengths that exist in our universe, you know, X-rays, infrared light, visible light. But humans can only see a really, really small portion of that, the visible light spectrum. So like when you look around, when you see colors, you see like a blue book, that is because like blue visible light wavelengths are being reflected to your eyes. However, like I said, there are lots of other wavelengths on here. And one of those is infrared light wavelengths. And so our eyes, off-the-shelf optical telescopes, it can't like decode those infrared light wavelengths for us. Like there's no color attached, then we can't perceive them. The James Webb Space Telescope, however, can. So what it does is it captures infrared light wavelengths that we can't see, that Hubble can't see, from deep space, from different areas of the universe, and it collects it as data. And then it sends it back to ground control on Earth. And what happens is scientists on Earth can take that data and turn it into sort of the visible light wavelengths and images that we can perceive. And so in essence, what this does is it shows us pieces of the universe that we can't see with our naked eye or any other instruments that we have. Does this sort of answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's a great summation of it. I'm just curious in terms of the process of putting this thing together, like how long did it take to build this thing and launch it? Like how much money was put into this thing?
Yeah, so it's really expensive. It was first envisioned in the late 90s, actually. So it's been a long time coming, and pretty much every, you know, professor or scientist that I've spoken to who their career is based on astronomy have talked to me about how they've been waiting for this to happen. And it was actually supposed to launch in around 2007, 2011. And it was supposed to cost something like, I think, max $3 to $4 billion. That obviously didn't happen. And it ended up launching last year, which is like so many years past beyond what scientists envisioned. And also it ended up costing $10 billion total due to, like, you know, tweaking the instruments and making sure that everything is working properly. So there's a lot that went into this.
Right. And you talked about the idea of giving us sort of a picture of outer space in a way that our human eyes can't perceive them. It gives a lot of extra context, but if you can give me a little bit of sense of like what the significance is of these photos, the ability to see what space looks like, what does that enable? Why is this such a big deal?
So So like I said, there are lots of infrared light signals that are coming from deep space that the James Webb Space Telescope can detect. And actually, I should note that the Hubble Space Telescope and like the Spitzer Space Telescope, which came before, it could also detect infrared wavelengths, but not at all in the way that the James Webb Space Telescope. And it had a little bit of that, but this telescope is literally built to do it. Anyway, so the reason that some of the galaxies in our universe give off infrared wavelengths from our vantage point on Earth, obviously it's not the case that we can't perceive these galaxies. Like if we could pop up next to them somehow and look at them, they would be normal. They would have regular visible light wavelengths. But what happens is, so at all times, the universe is expanding. It's expanding really fast, actually. And so what that means is that galaxies and stars that were once really close to us are getting farther and farther and farther away until they're like so far away, like billions of light years away. And so the light that they carry as they get farther and farther away from us, it changes. And so once visible light wavelengths, which are actually a little bit tighter, like if you can think of like a sine wave, like a tight sine wave, as they get farther into the universe, they stretch like a rubber band. And so as they stretch out, they get longer and longer and longer until they become the type of wavelength that's an infrared wavelength. And so for us on Earth, billions of years ago, these would have been normal visible wavelengths, but now we're viewing them as these invisible wavelengths. And so because the James Webb Space Telescope can capture these invisible wavelengths, what it's showing us is those stars and galaxies and other phenomena that used to be really close to our planet and are now like so far away that we wouldn't be able to study. And it's important to study these things because they were there like right when the universe began. So there was the Big Bang, and then that created all of this like dust and gas and chemicals and all of this like nonsense everywhere. And then that slowly became galaxies. But we have no idea how that happened because all of that information is now encoded as infrared.
So that's a great point. The idea that you're getting a lot more historical context. Is that kind of where, when you say you talked to a bunch of astronomers and like they've all been waiting their careers for this kind of data, is that like what they're hoping to do? Like how, I guess ultimately, like how do these photos, how does this information advance the field of astronomy?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, we are essentially missing the universe's first chapters. We have really no idea how any of the stars, the first stars in our universe, came to be. We don't know how all of the initial galaxies, we don't even know what the initial galaxies look like. We could theoretically look completely different than any of the models that we have right now. And in fact, as research progresses, we are starting to realize that the early universe was so different than the universe as we see it today. I mean, even the Earth, when the Earth came to be in the first place, there wasn't any oxygen. It was completely, completely different. We wouldn't have been able to survive. And now, you know, we have the Earth that we know, and planets are like that, and the universe as a whole is like that. And so it's really important to understand the timeline of our universe to make sure that we have the beginning of that timeline.
Got it. And when you're talking to some of these astronomers, I'm curious about what they're most excited about, like in terms of getting their hands on this imagery, like what they want to do with this stuff.
Yeah. So of course there are the astronomers who are really focused on what I was saying about, you know, the timeline aspect, but also there are some who are really interested in just figuring out, another thing that you can do with infrared astronomy is, so in the universe, when stars are born, their birthplace tends to be within these really massive, thick veils of gas and dust. And with regular telescopes, we can't quite pierce that veil. We can't look at the stars being born inside. And so we are missing a lot of information about star formation, but infrared light can do that. So even though the stars within the birthing stars within this like veil of gas can't the visible light from them can't reach us, the infrared light from them can't. And so we would basically be able to look into these veils and understand star formation. In the future, some NASA astronomers think that understanding star formation can also help us understand how our solar system came to be. Like, what does it take for a star to have a planet, for instance? And why did ours get to have the planet that it does?
Got it. This thing's pretty far away, right? Like, I'm curious, as someone who is located in a place where I can barely get cell phone reception, I'm curious how this thing is able to beam back images from so far away, and like, how does it do it in a timely way?
Yeah, it is currently at a point called the second Lagrange point, which is basically like a million miles away from Earth, always on the side of Earth that's not facing the sun. It can kind of remain there stably. But the way that we get information from it is through radio antennas, basically. NASA has this thing called the Deep Space Network. I'm pretty sure the headquarters is in Baltimore at the STSI. And the Deep Space Network comprises of three really big antennas that are spread, or like three really big centers that are spread across the globe at a perfect angle. And that helps us get deep space information. I mean, the same Deep Space Network can actually help us get information from way, way, way farther away. Like, it worked with Voyager, which is like billions of miles away from us at this point. And it works pretty well. And I think one thing to note is that the James Webb Space Telescope, a million miles from Earth, is not taking the beautiful pictures that we see. It's not like snapping that and sending these giant files to us. It's actually just sending us data, and its internal storage is only about 68 gigabytes. And that's more than enough. Yeah, it's more than enough, because it's just like, if you think about the difference between having pictures on your phone versus audio files, you have so many audio files. And so the data that it sends back, that's perfect for it. And scientists on the planet can offload data pretty easily too.
That's wild to think that this sophisticated $10 billion telescope has just slightly more memory than a low-end iPhone.
No, I know.
That's pretty remarkable. lastly, what's next for the James Webb Telescope?
So scientists, like I said, scientists have been waiting for this for so long that they've basically already lined up and queued to use it. If you look on SCSI's website, you can see all of the different proposals right now. And in fact, some scientists, notably on Twitter, if you just go on Twitter and type in JWST, you'll find all of these astronomers who are just combing through the data that the James Webb Space Telescope has sent back already, trying to like make sense of it and make their own pictures that NASA hasn't released yet. And it's been working pretty well. I mean, some scientists are really interested in exoplanet data, for instance. One of the James Webb Space Telescope quote unquote images was not actually an image. It was spectral data of a exoplanet. And what that tells you, basically, not what a planet looks like, but rather what it would be like on the planet to stand on it. It's not like an aesthetic image. However, it found that there was water vapor, clouds, and hazes. It's not habitable. It's really, really not habitable. But yeah, and so some scientists are interested in exoplanets like that. Others are probably more focused in decoding all the stars that are inside that veil. There are some who want to use it for black hole studies, potentially. One of the James Webb Space Telescope images that we got, Stefan's Quintet, did find an active black hole, like a galactic nucleus. Yeah. It didn't give us a picture like, the like little fiery donut one that we have, but it did show like matter swirling around the center of a galaxy, which indicates a black hole. And so it could help with that. It could really help with everything. I think the point of the James Webb Space Telescope is that we're looking at the same universe, but we have more things to look at. Everything is just more detailed and we can look deeper than we have before. And it's adding like, it's almost like adding a filter to the universe that clarifies it.
Got it. Well, Monisha, thank you for your time. You can check out her story and all of our James Wood coverage on CNET.com. If you have any questions, ping me on Twitter at Roger W. Chang. And if you liked what you heard, please rate and subscribe to the podcast. It really helps us out. For The Daily Charge, I'm Roger Chang. Thanks for listening.